went and sat down, right? Because there's a sermon right there, right? We could meditate on that, and it's incredible to think of our Lord. And there's a part of this sermon you think, Jesus is essential. Yeah, duh, that's why we're here, right? That's why we're here, because he is essential. We cannot live our lives without him. There's no way we have the faith we do. We don't have salvation. We don't have new life. We don't have direction for our life today without him. Now let's go ahead and pray as we start here. Lord Jesus, speak your word. Do your work. We open ourselves to you, Lord. These fumbling lips and fumbling hands, I pray that you would use to your glory, that more may know him and love him more. Praise saints in Jesus' name. Amen. And as usual, when I come and speak, I just say, first of all, if you feel like a finger is pointing at you, three are pointing back at me. I was telling Stephen this week as we were going over this sermon in Colorado. It's a lot cooler there, wasn't it? It's a lot cooler, nicer weather. But as I was going over this, I said, you know, it's good for me to do simply because I get a lot out of it. I mean, there's a little bit of selfishness here. And any of you who've done that, prepared to lead a Bible study, you get so much out of it just doing it. And so I got a lot out of this, and so I'm just blessed to do this. And finally, just to say, I'm one beggar telling other beggars where to find bread, you know, and I found some bread, and so hopefully you find some crumbs of all of this that I'm going to give you this morning. This is huge. How much time do we have? Jesus is essential. You could do a whole year series on this, right? Talking about Jesus and who he is. And those of us who know him know there is so much to him. I'm going to start with a little story. A lot of my stories have Africa involved, as you would guess. This involves before I was married. Some of you may or may not know, I was in Malawi for 2 years, from 1988 to 1990. Gosh, that's almost 30 years ago. Am I that old? Am I that old? I guess I am. And I worked at a college there, the College of Agriculture. And usually life kind of settled down at sunset. People didn't go out. There were mosquitoes and snakes and other things, so people just kind of stayed home. And so I was home one night kind of settling in, and one of my best friends, who's a professor there, my mentor really while I was there, his name was Samu, which is Samuel was his first name, and Samuel was his last name, comes knocking on my door. Dear godly man. He comes knocking on my door about 9 o'clock. He says, we've got a problem. He said, his wife worked at the high school, which was just about a mile away. And he said, there's a child who has died. And we need to take this child back to the home village to be buried tonight. And so I thought, well, I can do this. You know, I'll go ahead. I've got a vehicle. They don't have a vehicle to carry this child and all the people who want to go with it. I had a Toyota Land Cruiser. And so I thought, I'll go over and we'll take the child. And I said, well, how far are we going? He said, oh, we're just going to the capital city. So I thought, I can do this. You know, I can serve these people and help them by doing this. And so we go over, and African funerals are very different than ours. They're usually at the house and not at a church. And the men sit outside very silently and somber. And inside, the women are wailing. I think of when Lazarus died, very similar, right? The men are outside sitting silently and the women are inside wailing. We probably waited about 30 minutes and then they had the body wrapped in blankets, they put it in the back, and I would guess that we probably had 10 people in a vehicle that was meant to haul 6. And so we go. And I'm thinking, we've got this, we'll get them there, and by midnight I'll be home. We get to the capital city. I said, how much farther? They said, Pafupi. Now, in Chichewa, the language that is spoken in Malawi, Pafupi means just a little bit farther. Literally, it means within a day's journey. In a vehicle, Pafupi can be a long ways, right? And so we get to the capital city, and we turn, and we go, and we go. We're still on paved roads, fortunately, as they call them, tarmac, right? And we go, and I think, well, we've got this. We turn off, and I'm starting to look at my gas gauge. And as you would guess, a four-wheel drive Land Cruiser, you know, it passes everything but a gas station, right? And the gas gauge is going down. So I said, well, I'm beyond the point of no return. There's no gas stations open anyway at this time of night anywhere in the whole country. So we turn off, and the dirt roads get worse and worse, and we're driving like this at times, and like this. You know, it didn't even look like a road. It looked like an old creek bed that we were driving in. And we come to a river, and they say, oh, it's not very deep. You can drive across. And I'm going, at this point, I'm going, nuh-uh. How far is it, Pafupi? I said, how long will it take you to get there? And I'm doing all this through interpreters because I wasn't fluent there. And they said, oh, yeah, we can get there. And I said, I'm going to stop the vehicle here. If you can cross the river, you guys cross the river and go to the village. And I went to sleep. You'll find out the rest at the end of the sermon, right? I'm going to leave you hanging, okay? But I thought I could serve them. I thought, I can do this. And the farther I went, the more I said, you know what? I think I'm in way over my head. I don't know if I can do it. And you know, that's life. God does not want to prove your abilities, does not want you to prove your abilities by serving him. He wants instead to prove his ability by serving you and meeting your needs. Let me say that again, okay? He doesn't necessarily want you to prove what, me do it, Daddy, right? How big and strong you are and that you can do it. He wants you to come to the end of yourself where you go, you know what? I can't do it. I can't handle this situation. He wants to prove what a great God we just sang about, the kids just sang about, right? I was thinking of that as they were singing. I thought, boy, this is great. His ability by serving you and meeting your most pressing needs. And of course, when we think of God serving us, we think of John 13, where he takes off his outer garment, wraps a towel around himself, and does what? Washes the disciples' feet. Could they have done that? Yes. He wanted to prove that to them, even the things you think you can do, you need to allow me to do them for you. You need to allow me to serve you. Three of the needs, this is obviously a self-limiting sermon. Hopefully when I get done, you still think I limited myself and didn't go crazy with this. It is hard to limit this to a small amount of time. But three roles that Jesus gave himself, that he took on himself, and that theologians will say these are kind of the three basic roles of Jesus, where he was a king, he was a prophet, and he was a priest. And we're going to talk about how he meets our needs and shows us, even more than that, that we need his strength in order for him to serve us in these three areas. And we know what? We're really not accustomed to these. How many of you have been under a king? Right? We're not accustomed to doing that in 21st century America, right? How many prophets do you know wandering the streets? Right? We're not familiar with that. How many priests? Well, when we think of a priest, we often think of, guys like Stephen, sometimes we'll call him priest. But really, as an Old Testament priest, we're not familiar with a temple and a priest who offers sacrifices. And so it's going to take a little bit for us to wrap our heads around that, and hopefully in this time we'll be able to. But Jesus, first of all, Jesus serves us by being the perfect king. If we look through history, there's a lot of imperfect kings, right? King David, who we've been studying and will continue to study, we're going to see how imperfect he is, right? We're going to see his imperfections. He serves us as being the perfect king. Now, what is a king? A king is someone who has extreme power and reigns over all of his domain. With Jesus, all of his domain is everything he has made, which is everything, right? He made us, he made the world, he made the universe. As I was thinking about this, another African story came to mind about how can we understand what it is to be under ultimate authority, that we can't say anything and we're at the mercy of a king. Well, fast forward to, what year would that have been, Deb? Probably year 2000, 2001, sometime in there. We're getting time away from our children. We love our children, but we were getting time away from them. We're going to drive about 2 hours away on Lake Victoria, stayed at a nice hotel. And so we're on the way, and there's this gas station. It always involves gas stations, doesn't it, right? Where they sell Coke. Coke is everywhere, by the way. Coke is everywhere. If you've been around the world, Coke is everywhere, right? So we were going to get some Cokes on the way, get some nice glass bottles of Coca-Cola. So I go to turn in, and you got to remember that they drive on the other side of the road, right? So I'm on the right side, Deb is over here, and we're driving, and I'm making a right turn, which is kind of like a left turn here. You have to cross traffic. Well, as I am making this right turn, I hear, it's the horn of the bus, but it's right in my ear. He's trying to pass me as I'm on the right side as I'm turning in. The next thing, bam, right? The bus is right here, right next to me. He's T-boned our Land, it's a Land Cruiser again. Land Cruisers, they're just the African vehicle. He's pushing us, and I hear the crunching of the metal in this ear. In this ear, I'm hearing my wife scream. I don't know how many screams she had, but I'm hearing her scream until we finally stop, okay, until we come to a stop. Then they had a guy that sat at the door of the bus who would take money as people get on the bus. I remember him hitting me in the back of the head, like, you dummy. It's like, wait a minute, I had my blinker on, I'm turning right, and you T-boned me, you know. And then within seconds, there's hundreds of people there. And we have a bull bar on this Land Cruiser, and we eventually get unhooked from him, and he goes his way, and I go mine. I think, you know, I can drive. Amazing. I will swear by Land Cruisers, by the way. Amazing vehicles. It probably bent the bar between the front and rear door maybe that much. And I'll bet he was going 40, 50 miles an hour. So we drive away, and I think, well, we'll get it fixed. We'll get body work, but it's driving fine. We go up probably another 45 minutes to the second largest city in Tanzania where we're going to stay, get in touch with our missionary team leader. He says, you didn't go to the police? I said, no. He says, you could get arrested for leaving the scene of an accident. See, I thought I could handle it. Well, I'll just go and everything will be fine. It's just like the United States. No harm, no foul. It's like, no. When you're in another country, you need to obey the laws. And so he said, we need to go back to that town, go to the police station and make a report. I'm going to call the bishop of the church and he's going to meet us there. And you need to say, yes, sir, no, sir, whatever you want, sir, right? Again, we're so unfamiliar with that, aren't we? It worked out fine because the bishop started joking with the police. I started joking with the police. They were actually looking more for the bus driver than for me because they actually gave me grace by saying, you know what, you're not from this country. But at that time, I thought, wow, this could get serious. You know, I don't want to be in a prison in the United States, let alone in Tanzania, right? But to be under ultimate authority and realize I have no say. I have none, all right? That's the idea of a king. That's one idea of a king, is that he reigns supreme. And we're so unfamiliar with that. And so again, I couldn't handle this. I needed a leader to lead me. 2 Samuel 7:16 says of Jesus, we're going to get there probably in a few months, right? We're marching through 2 Samuel and David's life. Says of David's house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Now we know that David's physical house is gone, right? His kingship, as far as his physical heirs, ended. Who's it talking about? Of course, we know it's talking about Jesus. So Jesus is the perfect king because he is established as king forever. We don't have a king who's going to pass away, who's going to disappear. He will always be there. Okay? Secondly, Jesus is the perfect king because, as we read, as Stephen read in Hebrews 1, he was appointed as heir of all things. He upholds the universe through his power, and he is superior to all. That's a great king to have, right? Not a king who's king of some little fiefdom, you know. 160-acre king, right? We don't have a 160-acre king. We have a king who is king over all the universe, over everything. Physical, spiritual, everything. And he's superior to all. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many of you have heard this little thing. It's by S.M. Lockridge. It says, he's my king. Look him up. Look up, he's my king on YouTube and listen to it. It's incredible. I will not be able to do him justice, but I'm going to read just a little bit of it. I'm not a pastor from the inner city, but I'm going to read it kind of like he reads it. And I think it's inspiring, and I think it's based on God's word. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Amen? Amen. That is our king, right? He owns us. He says, I want to be your king. I want to serve you as king. Don't think that you can lead yourself. And to realize that now, our king, the one we're getting directions from, is a person. Sometimes we think our directions come from a map. Lord, give me the map, and I'll get back to you when I don't know where to go. Actually, our map is a person. It's our king, right? We follow him. So my question now for you and for myself, are you allowing Jesus to serve you as king? My friend Samu Samu said this, and I love it. He said, most of us are really good at crisis management. When there's a crisis, man, the priorities become clear, right? What we need to do and what we need to follow, our prayer life gets better, our time in the Word gets better. He said, most of us are lousy at non-crisis management, right? Okay, I'll get back to you, God, when I need you. I got this figured out. And it's not that, as someone said, it's not like you analyze everything. Okay, Lord, which color of socks should I wear today? I mean, that's important. But that my first response would be, I need to pray about this. I need to go to my king and ask him if he's got direction for me on this. Another picture of Jesus serving us as king is, I've often said, as I heard, and most of what I share, a lot of what I share is borrowed and stolen from other people because it's blessed my life, that we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Now, what's the question? We say yes before he even asks the question, right? This week at Estes Park, Josh McDowell pointed out that Isaiah was willing before he was told to go. He may not tell you to go to Africa. So that's some people's fears. Well, if I tell him I'll do anything, I know what he's going to do. He's going to tell me to do something hard and terrible. All he's asking us is to be willing. Willing to follow him, to say, you're my king. I'll follow you because I trust you. Because you have everything under control. Secondly, Jesus serves us by being the perfect prophet. And again, a prophet is something that we may or may not have an idea of. A prophet was someone who spoke the words given to him by God. Sometimes we think a prophet, well, they're a fortune teller, right? They're talking about the future. A prophet is simply someone who's speaking the words of God. Another way of saying it is, it's someone who tells the truth. It's a truth teller, right? They're telling the truth of God to people. I'm kind of crazy with some things because I'm a scientist, right? We had a wireless rain gauge in Africa, which is great because I could sit inside and watch the little digital thing go while it has a little tipper in there that tells you how much rain you have. Well, I recently got one here. I didn't trust that it was accurate. That's just a scientist thing. You just got to understand. So I saw, okay, if you get a cup of water, it should read 1.68 inches. So I got a cup of water, put a pinhole in it, and tried to see and tried to adjust it. I couldn't get it adjusted, so I called the gal from the factory. Said, Shev, why were you doing that? I said, because you just got to understand I'm crazy this way. I don't trust it, right? It's come from the factory, yeah, but I want to make sure that it's working right. Similarly, on our trip, okay, when I'm driving in a car, my phone has this little speedometer thing that uses GPS to tell you how fast you're going. I don't trust the speedometer in my car. That thing's really accurate. Okay, and so when I'm getting ready to set my cruise, I'll have that little speedometer on. Okay, now I'm at the right speed, I'm going to set it, because I don't trust my speedometer. You know, we're in a world that we don't know what we can trust anymore, right? We don't know what's true, okay? People are looking for truth. A Harris poll in 2009, this is a sad truth, found that 1/4 of American churchgoers believe in horoscopes. They're looking for truth, right? They're looking for somewhere that they can get direction, okay? A Pew Research Center poll in 2011, they had tracked these two questions from 1985 till 2011, and you can probably guess what direction these are going. One is, are news stories inaccurate? Probably get a smile on a lot of people. And the second question was, does the news media get the facts straight? We can guess which direction that one's going because we probably are all going the same direction as our country. In 1985, 35% of people said news stories were inaccurate. 1/3. 2011, 65% said that news stories are inaccurate. In 1985, 55% of people said that the news media gets the facts straight. 2011, 25%. We're living in a world where there's less and less that people feel like they can rely on, and so they're looking for things, right? They're looking for, what can I rely on? What is true? Where can I get the true story? Well, Jesus serves us by being the perfect prophet, the perfect one who speaks truth. First of all, he's the perfect prophet who speaks the words God the Father has given him. Moses, considered the prophet by the Jews, he was the prophet. In Deuteronomy, the Lord speaks to Moses, and he says in Deuteronomy 18:18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among the brothers. That's a big deal, right? To say there's a prophet like Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Jesus spoke everything that God commanded him. Secondly, he's the perfect prophet because he speaks with the authority of God the Father. That was something that baffled the crowds, right? He speaks as one who has authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. In John 12:49, Jesus says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. Jesus himself sets our example by saying, okay, I'm not going to say anything but what you tell me to say and speak. And as Barry is, since I've been in a few Bible studies with him in Gap, you know, how do we know it's true? Because Jesus said so, right? Take it to the bank, right? If it's in the Bible, which we've already had that sermon, and Jesus is the Word, right? Take it to the bank. It is 100% reliable. And from our passage today in Hebrews 1, Jesus is the perfect prophet because God has spoken to us by the person of his Son, okay? Truth is now a person. It's Jesus. Truth isn't this thing we're looking for. I remember, this is free. It's not in my manuscript. Pilate saying, what is truth, right? Pilate was looking for truth. Well, truth is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the perfect prophet because he spoke to the prophets in the past. Now he has spoken to us by the person of Jesus Christ. So we have truth in front of us. That's why he's called the Word, as Stephen read this morning. Are you allowing Jesus to serve as your prophet? Are you allowing him to be your only reliable source of truth? There's a lot of things we can look to, right? One example for us is like in Africa, it just was very convicting to me that when they got sick, their first response as believers was to pray. I'm so convicted that not just sickness, but whenever a problem comes my way, you know, I'm kind of looking for how I'm going to fix it and get information, is my first response, I need to pray. Not that I'm going to, but it will just set my heart on, I got to seek you first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Finally, Jesus serves us by being our perfect priest and our perfect lamb. He is both in one. The priests sacrifice lambs. He was the perfect lamb, and he is the perfect priest. A priest acts as a representative to God by offering up prayers, thanksgiving, sacrifices. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Saving Private Ryan. Probably some of you have. This group that storms the beaches on D-Day is given the mission of saving this private. His other three brothers have died. He's the last brother alive. Okay? Some of them have to actually die in this mission. They finally find him, but when they find him, there's a critical bridge that they have to defend before they take him out of there. Almost all of them die defending this bridge. And Tom Hanks plays Captain Miller, who's the head of this group, and he's been shot and is dying. And Private Ryan comes up to him, and he's whispering, and he can't hear him, and he comes right to him. And with his dying breath, Tom Hanks says, "Earn this." And every time I see that, I go, "You can't. You can't earn people giving their life for you, can you? You can't earn it." And that's the point, right? We could not earn salvation. We cannot earn life. First of all, Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God who has laid our sin upon himself. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming in John 1:29, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Isaiah prophesying about Jesus, Isaiah 53 is a great passage to memorize, by the way. Verses 5 and 6, speaking of Jesus, says he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He is the perfect lamb. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we have a perfect lamb who gave himself for us, that was sacrificed for us. But even more than that, he is the great high priest who is unique, right? He's not just a priest who's kind of distant. He's a priest who knows us intimately. He's unique in his identification with us. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. "Since then, we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Let's have confidence because we have a priest. Another passage said, "He always lives to intercede for us." He is always there to intercede for us. One of my big mistakes is that when I fail God, I just think, you know, he really doesn't want to listen to me. You know, I messed up. Scripture says the exact opposite thing. It says he lives to intercede for us. We should have confidence, not in ourselves, but in the great high priest who gave his life for us. Are you allowing Jesus to serve as your lamb and your priest? Or like me, there's two ditches I think I can fall into. One is, you know what, I finally did it, I've went too far. You know, he doesn't really want to hear from me. Or the other one is, well, I'm going to make it right. You know, I'm going to do some good that will outweigh the bad. Well, how'd that work before Jesus? It didn't work, right? Those are the two ditches rather than say, the only confidence I have is in you. You have to serve as my priest. I have nothing that I can do or not do that's going to make this right. I can't ignore it. I just need to come to you and say, you are my only intercessor. Well, I woke up in my car with a wrapping on the window. They were back. They had crossed the river, taken the body to the village, and came back. It was probably 2:30 in the morning by this time. And so then we get in the car, Samu Samu and their two young ladies, and I said, start praying, because I don't think there's any way we're getting back to a gas station. It's already on E. They started praying. We drove those roads. The vehicle continued to run. Finally, we got to a gas station about 4 o'clock in the morning. So I said, well, we might as well sit here by the pumps. We woke up to the gas attendants getting up about 6 o'clock, opening the gas station. I said, you know what? I didn't bring hardly any money with me either. How much money do we have between us? We scraped together probably $10, enough to get back to the capital city where I could get money. I needed someone to do what I couldn't. I'm not telling you to just keep driving your vehicle and praying God will fill it, right? But I needed someone that I could go to with my needs, with confidence, not because I deserve it, but because he has paid the price. And I want to tell you today that maybe during this time, or maybe God's been working on you, that if you've discovered that maybe you haven't allowed Jesus to serve you as your king, as your only source of truth, as your high priest and your lamb, I'd encourage you, talk with somebody, talk with Stephen, talk with one of the elders, if God's working that way. I had a friend who I was in Malawi with that used to say, you know what, sometimes we don't like being a cripple, you know, but we are cripples. And we need crutches. And Jesus is a great crutch. God's word is a great crutch. Each other. I need you. I need to be accountable to you. We need to be accountable to each other because I can't do it by myself. I just want to close by reading another passage which describes Jesus from Colossians 1. Let's just meditate on this passage as we close. He's the invisible. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I first come to you admitting I don't have the strength or ability to run my life. I don't know how to do it, Lord. I need you to serve me as king. And I say, yes, Lord, what's the question? I need you to serve me as my prophet. You are the only reliable source of truth that I have. And Lord, I allow you to serve me as the Lamb of God and the great high priest. I thank you. I had no reason to ask that you be my lamb, to ask that you be my high priest. But I thank you that I can come with confidence because you've told me to. You actually commanded me to come to your throne with confidence. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me for not allowing you to serve me, to wash my feet, to be my king, to be my prophet, and to be my priest. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.